Welcome to Progress by Design, where ambitious and sensitive women turn their potential into progress. Merging psychology, self-development, and the design thinking process, I help you get out of your own way and take messy, imperfect action towards your extraordinary empire. I'm your host, Emma Norris, and I am obsessed with helping ADHD, highly sensitive women, and other underdogs become fully actualized and unlock the alpha badass that has always been inside them. I'm an author, writer, psychology graduate, self-leadership coach, and transformation strategist. I'm also proudly neurodivergent myself, and I can't wait to share with you what I've learned throughout my own journey from self-doubting procrastinator to authentically aligned action taker. Are you ready to become the best version of yourself and design a life, career, business, and habits that feel good for you? You're in the right place. Let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome back to the Progress by Design podcast. I am sorry I'm a little bit delayed with this episode. I'm going to be honest because, you know, so many of us have ADHD around here and I know that you get it. I had a weird amount of resistance about recording an episode this week. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just been busy. We're getting ready to go to New Zealand next week. So maybe it's just that I've had a lot on, haven't had as much headspace. I think also because I haven't been writing a script for these episodes like I used to, which is good because it gets rid of the resistance and procrastination around writing. But there's just something about sitting down at the computer and actually pressing record that can feel really confronting. I'll sit here for 5 minutes just like hand hovered over the record button before I actually do it. But once I do it, I always feel really great. I love being able to maybe teach you guys something you didn't already know before. And I love the feeling once I'm done recording a podcast episode. So I'm sure once we get going, we will be good to go. But yeah, I just want you to know that I experience that resistance too when it comes to tasks that I know are important, but just for some reason or another, I've got this huge mental barrier about doing it. But today I want to talk about something that is a lesser known symptom of ADHD, although a very common one for people who do have it. And often once you put a name to it, you're like, oh my God, I've been experiencing that my whole life. And for me, I think it is the most debilitating part of having ADHD and being a highly sensitive person. And I think this is a big part of why those two things often go hand in hand. But yeah, I think this is the most, for me, the most, and a lot of other people, the most debilitating symptom of ADHD. And it's also a big reason that I suspected that I actually had it. And that is projection sensitivity dysphoria, or RSD. If you're not familiar with RSD, it's defined by Attitude Magazine, which is a great resource for all things ADHD. It's defined as an extreme emotional sensitivity and pain triggered by the perception that a person has been rejected or criticized by important people in their life. It may also be triggered by a sense of falling short, failing to meet their own high standards or others' expectations. Does this sound familiar? Because I know when I finally heard about it, like it was like a light bulb went off. Like I had been experiencing this my whole life and had never been able to put a name to it. It was like if something upset me, it switched to flick and it was instant. My entire body instantly went into shutdown, basically. Often it feels like I'm in just extreme emotional but almost physical pain, but it's completely all-consuming and it manifests in different ways. Like sometimes I will just shut down. I won't want to talk to anyone. I can barely think straight. Other times I'll be like really irrationally angry, or quite often I'll cry. I'm definitely a crier, so if I'm hurt or upset, I'll burst into tears if it's appropriate for the situation. I'm not really one who cries that much in public, but yeah, sometimes this manifests in flight, fight, or freeze response, but either way, it's instantaneous and really intense. And once I'm treated in this way, it's really hard to pull myself out of it, almost impossible. Now I have some coping skills that allow me to get out of it faster, which I'll be sharing at the end of the episode, but it's very painful. And yeah, it'll often take hours or even like a day just to start feeling normal again. Like even if I've mentally come to terms with the situation and kind of been able to intellectualize it, I'll still have those residual negative physiological sensations hanging around for hours afterwards.
funny because the attitude description says that this is triggered when someone of importance to you does something that you perceive as rejection or criticism. Because for me, it doesn't even have to be someone of importance. The bus driver or a random coworker said something that I perceived as quite nasty, and that would completely set me off and send me on a complete emotional spiral. That's what it really feels like for me. Like, it'll be one person said one thing about my work or my personality, and then I start questioning everything, you know, about my values, about whether anyone really likes me, whether I'm good enough. It just spitballs to become so much more about what it even was about originally. So yeah, for me, it's really criticism from anyone that can set this off. And I've definitely come a lot better at differentiating whose opinion I actually care about and understanding that other people's behavior, as cliche as it sounds, says more about them than it does about me. And basically, I've become better at not taking everything so personally. And it's important to know that RSD in and of itself is not a diagnosis, but obviously it's a very common symptom in people with ADHD. I don't know if it's something to do with us being quite impulsive or emotionally reactive, but this is also very similar to the experience that people with BPD experience, and I've even heard of autistic people having similar experiences. And obviously, yeah, just being a sensitive person, you may or may not have ADHD, but I'm sure a lot of people who identify as sensitive out there can really relate to the experience that I'm talking about. It's not hard to imagine how this would be very disruptive to your interpersonal life. It's definitely been an issue with my family, mainly because we're all a bit like this. Definitely in my romantic relationships in the past, it's a lot better with my current partner since he is, yeah, we've been together so long and he knows me, and I've also, yeah, better at expressing myself. But yeah, it's definitely affected my relationships and friendships. But today I want to talk about something that I didn't actually hear discussed as much, and that is how rejection sensitivity dysphoria can manifest in your career and sabotage your business. And actually, I want to specifically talk more about what this looks like in business, because I know so many of you listening to this either want to start a side hustle and on top of their job, or want to go full time in their businesses. So I really want to be real about what this looks like when you work for yourself. And it's funny because I think that my rejection sensitivity dysphoria has actually played a big role in my journey to entrepreneurship, because I have found it really hard navigating office politics and kind of the microaggressions that you can experience as a female in the workplace from men and from other women. I think that has really amplified that tenfold for me. Me being a sensitive person and not being able to just brush things off easily, I think that has been played a big part in why I, yeah, basically decided that I don't want to deal with a lot of that bullshit anymore. And look, it's not everywhere, but it's happened to some degree in a lot of jobs I've been in. Yeah, basically when you work full time in an office, it's hard to get away from that. And that might sound a little bit escapist. I don't want people to hurt my feelings, so I'm just not going to spend time around people. And it's definitely not been the only factor that's led me down this path. I think I've always been destined to work for myself just because of me being a creative and innovative kind of person, but it's definitely played a role, and I'm thankful for that because I think it's led me down the right path. But what I do want to say is that navigating RSD is really hard in a different way when you work for yourself. And that's largely because in any type of business, but especially one where you are your brand, whether you're a service provider or you have an online business, you're a coach or you sell courses, a huge part of it is putting yourself out there. There's really no getting away from it. If you want to make sales, you have to put yourself out there when you run your own business. And actually, really, if you want to do anything public facing, I've never received more negative criticism than when I wrote a book and you have it up there getting reviews on Amazon and Goodreads. I can tell you not all of them are going to be good. And actually, I've stopped reading my reviews. There's a lot of positive ones, but there's also quite a few negative ones. I think it has thickened my skin a bit, just having to be exposed to people writing negative things about something that you've created. I think a little bit of the sting of it is gone, which is good. But yeah, anytime you put yourself out there in the public domain in any way, you open yourself up to criticism and rejection, basically. And for many of us who want the freedom, who want the variety, who want to do what we love, it's a trade-off that we have to make, but that doesn't make it any easier to deal with. So some of the times that RSD has shown up the most for me in business, one would be as a freelance writer. Like, you are writing things for a lot of different clients in a lot of different tone of voices and styles, and you're not going to get it right every time. I'm thankful in that I think I'm fairly intuitive, and I do mostly get positive feedback upon sending off the first draft 90% of the time, but there's definitely been times where clients have ripped my work apart and covered it with edits in red, or basically said things that implied that my work wasn't enough. And a lot of it comes down to briefing or just miscommunications, or you're just not the right fit. But early on, I found that really hard to deal with because I hadn't had the exposure to it yet. And I remember one time I was working with a client, and just out of nowhere, they accused me of plagiarism, basically. It was the type of client where they wanted it to be quite research heavy. I had paraphrased a few things from different sources, but it was very far from being plagiarized. They had run it through some sort of software that apparently had flagged it. And okay, it's probably a bit harsh to say they accused me of plagiarism, but basically they asked me about it and I was completely shocked, taken aback. It's one of the probably worst work-related instances of RSD that I've ever had, apart from when I worked at a retail store and I was wrongly accused of telling a customer to fuck off. And that is another hilarious story for another day. But yeah, I came home and sobbed. I was distraught for a day afterwards. That's one area where you definitely expose yourself to RSD, putting things out there to get feedback and it maybe not being quite right or not being aligned with the client. Another is, of course, putting yourself out there on social media, whether you're trying to just build your brand, whether you're launching something. Unfortunately, with business, it isn't just a case of if you build it, they will come. You have to promote yourself, and often that means opening yourself up to be perceived as cringe or people taking issue with the things that you're saying in your videos or in your captions. And I've come to learn, especially when you really get clear on your target audience and you're very clear about your message, you're going to become more polarizing because you're no longer just trying to be palatable and get everyone to agree with you. But that's when you really open yourself up to nasty trolls, or not even just trolls, people coming at you with valid arguments, but in a kind of attacking, defensive way. I remember I used to run Facebook ads when I first started my blog because I learned it was a really great way to get a lot of traffic. And I had this one blog post where I'd done kind of a review about getting lip fillers, and I decided it was a good idea to run ads to the Facebook post promoting that blog because it was got a lot of traffic and a lot of engagement. But I had a picture of myself in the ad with my before and after with my lip fillers, and I got so many nasty comments about how terrible the fillers looked and how terrible my lips before looked. And I still left it running because I was it's working, I'm getting a lot of traction. God, I was on a huge emotional roller coaster. And I think this is another big way that it manifests. I would clap back. RSD doesn't always just manifest in you being upset. You can be angry. And for me, I'm a very righteous person and I do like to have the last word. So I would often find myself getting in the comments and clapping back to these things. And it would just make me feel even worse, but I couldn't help myself. I would try so hard to just not respond, but I couldn't find the self-control, and I think that was definitely the RSD talking. That's the other thing about running a business, you have to learn to be professional even in the face of people being really nasty. You have to resist that urge to give them a dose of their own medicine, and I've found that to be a really hard thing to overcome as well. And the other thing is launching, especially if you have an online business where you have courses. There's a lot of opening the cart for a certain amount of time and closing it so you can enroll students. And I don't think I anticipated just how hard emotionally that would be the first time I launched my course. It's nail biting, seeing if people are actually going to want to come and buy this thing, put your heart and soul into and spent so long working. I would constantly check my Stripe notifications. It's just, I was very emotionally attached to the outcome and almost became a test of, am I good enough? Am I worthy? If I had days of no one bought, I would just be very frustrated and upset and take it really personally. And apart from the emotional turmoil that all this puts you through, I think the biggest way that these experiences of RSD in business sabotage you is it makes it really hard to show up consistently. Because how you're feeling about your business and by extension yourself is playing too much of a factor in whether or not you're going to show up for your business. And unfortunately, to make business work, you do have to be somewhat consistent in putting yourself out there. And I find that when you're letting RSD run the show in business, it puts you in a really frustrating start-stop cycle where you're only showing up when you're feeling good, when you feel okay enough about yourself. And it just makes it really hard to make any substantial progress. So if you feel like you've been struggling to make progress in your business, that you've been in a bit of a start-stop cycle, I would encourage you to think about the role that RSD and emotional sensitivity are having in your business or in your side hustle. And I want to make a point of saying, of course, like, emotional sensitivity has just as many positives as it does negatives. Obviously, it makes you a more empathetic, intuitive person who understands others. So I don't want to paint it in a negative light here, but I do just want to talk about the realities of the flip side of it, because being aware of how it can sabotage us is the first step to being able to stop it in its tracks when it comes up. I also want to point out that if you're really struggling with mood regulation or just intense feelings of criticism or rejection, it's really important to go and see a professional. Like, probably first stop should be go and see a doctor who will be able to refer you to a psychologist, or if you already have a psychologist, talk to them about it. Like we've spoken about, it can be really debilitating. And if you do experience this, it's not something that you just have to put up with. There are lots of different therapies, especially DBT or dialectical behavior therapy, that are specifically designed to help you with this, as well as like different medications and things that can help. I definitely don't want to say just grin and bear it. Definitely go and see a professional if this has sparked something in you and it's something that you're struggling with. But I do want to share a bit about how I personally deal with it when it comes up, so that it doesn't sabotage me, not only in my relationships, but also in making progress in my business and career. So the first thing I want to say is, when RSD strikes, you need to deal with your body first. And by that I mean, there is literally no point in trying to talk yourself down straight away or like try and intellectualize what you're feeling. Once you've been physiologically triggered, it's too late for that. Your body and your brain are not going to talk to each other. So you really need to manage the physical response that you're having first. What that looks like will depend on the sensations that you're experiencing. So if you're feeling really numb and empty, you really want to soothe. First of all, I think in any situation, you should, if this is in person, if it's possible, politely or impolitely excuse yourself. Yeah, so if you're feeling numb and empty, you really want to soothe yourself. So if possible, have something warm, like a hot tea or a soup. If you have a hot water bottle or like a wheat pack that you can heat up, do that. If it's not possible, give yourself a hug. This is almost like swaddling a baby. And part of the reason that we feel this so intensely is because we haven't learned to self-regulate ourselves. So that's essentially what we're doing here. We're swaddling ourselves like we're a baby. And I find that often when I have that numb sort of feeling, I almost feel cold. Great if you can grab a blanket, sit next to the heater if it's not too hot. And I haven't actually personally tried this, but I imagine that weighted blankets would be great for this as well. If you're feeling more like activated and charged, and like basically the fight response, great things you can do: shake it out, put on some Rage Against the Machine and dance around. Anything that's active, punch the air, punch a pillow, just get that aggression out basically. I've also heard that cold water, or I think it's putting an ice cube or something in your mouth, or flushing your face with cold water really helps here. I'm not sure why, but I've heard great things about it. And then if you have that kind of flight response where you just really want to run away, one of my coaches actually gave me some great advice here recently, and she was like, why don't you actually get up and run? Go for a run around your block if you have that sort of flight, I want a flee response. And I actually gave this a go. I didn't run all the way around the block, but I ran down to our external laundry and did some washing, two birds, one stone. But I ran up the stairs and I ran down the stairs. And I found that this really helped. Like, for me, it's almost like I need to complete the physiological response. Like, I needed to come full circle before I can work through it. And I'm obviously not recommending any medication or anything, but I actually have a prescription for beta blockers, which are typically used for blood pressure, I believe, but are also great for anxiety. Basically, it just blunts the physiological response. So I do take those when I need it. But obviously, I'm not recommending that as something that you would want to talk to your doctor about, see if that could be useful for you. But yeah, I find that when I'm physiologically triggered, that really helps just bring the bodily sensations down so that I can even think clearly. So that is the first step. You need to do something about the physiological response that you're having in your body. And there are a lot of really great somatic therapies that are really targeted to this. I'm doing a course called The Nervous System Solution, which is all about like this sort of physical regulation. So I'm finding that really helpful. There's some great exercises in that you can do in that moment to see that physical sensation through or to soothe is really going to get you to a better place faster. And hopefully in doing so, you've also got some distance from the situation, from the thing that's upset you, so that you're not being reactive, whether it's stepping away from your computer, whether it's going to the bathroom when you're in a meeting and something's upset you, just giving yourself the space to do one of these things to get yourself back to a good baseline. The second thing to do is think about your objective. Often we don't even really know what we want in these situations because we're just being so guided by our emotions, which are telling us to flight, freeze, or fight, basically. But a huge thing in DBT, which I mentioned before, is objectives effectiveness, like figuring out what do I really want to achieve and guiding your behavior in a way that allows you to achieve that objective. And once you calm down, do you really want to fight back to that nasty comment on your Facebook? Is that going to help you achieve your long-term goals? If your goals are to build up a great brand and reputation, is that helping or hindering your goals if you clap back and say something nasty in response to that nasty comment? Probably it's more of a hindrance than a help. It's easy to get caught up in, I think, our ego and our pride. And like I said, I'm a righteous person, so I'm like, it's just not right. They just can't get away with it. But think about what it is that you want. If you want to feel good about yourself and you want to set a positive example for others, then the action that you can take that leads you towards that goal is to respond politely. And I often find that when you do that, people actually feel bad and back down because you're being so nice about it, or delete it or block them. Think about what is going to help you. This is actually an opportunity for you to be selfish. What is going to move you closer to what it is you want? It's not about pandering to them. It's all letting them get away with it. It's about you, basically. In some interpersonal situations, sometimes it feels like our goal is to be heard or to be right. And like, of course, we all want to be heard. But sometimes when we think about it, the goal is actually just to preserve the relationship. Maybe it's a client that you really love working with, but you've just had one negative exchange, but it's not worth losing the whole client relationship with. Maybe what they've said has really upset you, really hurt you, and initially your instinct is, I want to give them a mouthful back. But is that really getting you closer to your long-term goals? That's what you have to think about. So that's more for the situations where, you know, you're feeling like really emotionally charged, you're angry, you're upset, you want to fight back, you want to lash out at someone. Hopefully you've calmed down enough that you can figure out what it is you really want and respond in a way that's going to help you achieve your goals. But my third tip is more for those situations where you're just feeling really dejected, depleted, like you just want to hide away from the world. You don't even want to show up for your business at all. Again, this is another thing from DBT. It's called taking opposite action. And I would definitely recommend looking more into this. There's lots of information on the internet if you're interested in finding out more about it. But I find this to be a really powerful mental model and a simple thing I can do when I'm feeling that urge to just disappear into a hole. Take the opposite action of that urge. This might look like when you want to just like crawl under your doona and never even look at your social media profile again. Like film a reel, film a TikTok. It sounds really counterintuitive and like the last thing you want to do. But by doing the opposite thing to that urge, it just seems to trick your brain somehow and signal to your emotions, you're not running the show here. Like, I'm in control. And then it's like the fake it till you make it thing. In taking the action that leads you closer, not further away from what it is you want, you weirdly start to feel better too. And this can work in like interpersonal situations too. When your urge is to give someone a taste of their own medicine and be harsh back to them, the opposite action you could take here is being really kind and compassionate. And it might feel really strange and foreign, but in doing it, you've shifted yourself into a more positive, compassionate space, and you actually start to feel better too. So when you have an urge to act in a way that is not conducive to your goals, do the opposite thing and see what happens. So these are the three main things that have really helped me take control of my RSD. I definitely still experience it, but I'm able to deal with it in a much more helpful way for my relationships, for my business, for my career, end up feeling better about myself in the long run and has a more positive outcome. Like I said, there is so much more to learn about this. I would love to get a DBT expert on the show, actually, because I just find DBT is actually designed for people with borderline personality disorder, which I don't have, but I obviously do relate to a lot of the emotional sensitivity part of it, and I found it to be the most helpful thing for managing my RSD and giving me practical strategies for those times where I'm triggered and just trying to intellectualize my emotions or reason with my brain just doesn't work for me. So yeah, definitely recommend looking more into it if this is something you struggle with. But otherwise, I think that these tips can definitely help get you started in the right direction. Remember that there is nothing wrong with you if you're emotionally sensitive. It's such a gift in other ways. Any positive also has its flip side. And yeah, this is something that we need to manage so we can have fulfilling lives and careers and businesses. So yeah, I hope that there's something that you can apply to it. Next time someone says something that kind of rubs you the wrong way, try out some of these tips and let me know how you go. I would love to hear from you. I hope you have an amazing rest of the week, and I will speak to you soon.